Sir George and friends. A year ago, I was in India. I was in India on a sort of lecture tour among the ex-untouchable Buddhists of Maharashtra. And in the course of that tour, which lasted very nearly 3 months, I visited about 24 towns and villages, mostly in the state of Maharashtra, and mostly in an area called Marathwada. And in the course of that tour, I delivered some 45 lectures. And I was thinking only yesterday that the conditions under which I gave those lectures, the conditions under which we all met in those various towns and villages, were very different from the conditions under which we've been meeting and still are meeting this weekend. Of course, to begin with, the weather was very different. No rain, no drizzle, no cold, no damp, no chill. There was nothing but blazing hot sunshine, very, very blue skies, and very, very dry air. There was lots of dust, there's lots of sand, and I very, very quickly got a sore throat. And of course, the people were very different. To begin with, there were lots more of them. I mean, India's a very big country, it's a subcontinent, but it seems absolutely full of people. Wherever you go in India, especially in a great city like Bombay, where I also spent a few days, you're literally tripping over people all the time. There are 200,000 people every night sleeping on the sidewalks. They live on the sidewalks. They live under little scraps of sacking stretched out over the pavement, and under the scrap of sacking, one finds all their worldly goods, and there's a family living there quite happily. Mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, 7 or 8 children, babies, dogs, they're all living there on the sidewalk under this little scrap of sacking. How they live, one can only speculate. Eh? But there they are. So there are people, lots of people. And at all the meetings I attended, all the meetings I addressed, there weren't just a few hundred people as we have here this weekend. There were thousands of them. There were tens of thousands of them, sometimes crammed together in very, very small areas indeed. And of course, all sitting on the floor, sitting on the ground, and with all sorts of brilliant lights everywhere. Indians are very fond of doing things in a very colourful sort of fashion. There were lots of fairy lights, coloured fairy lights, all over the place. And there were lights made out of revolving wheels, Dharma chakras, to symbolise the Buddha's turning of the wheel of the Dharma. And of course, when you arrive at one of these meetings, and when you're going to give a lecture, you are greeted in a very special fashion. First of all, up on the stage, there's a sort of throne where you have to sit, because very often one speaks sitting down, sitting cross-legged. And before your speech, before your lecture, they insist upon garlanding you. They garland you, different groups, different people. They come forward and they put a garland of flowers around your neck. And in most of these places, since I hadn't been for quite a few years and they were very glad to see me, I sometimes got 25 or 35 or 45 garlands. You know, there are people coming up every few seconds. They give you a garland, they put it over your neck, you take it off and you hand it to an attendant, and then the next one. And this takes sometimes half an hour or 45 minutes, and you have to sit there smiling through it all. After that, when you've been properly introduced and maybe served with light refreshments on the platform itself, well, you stand up and you give your talk. And, of course, in India, they are great lovers of lectures. Many people, don't forget, are illiterate. So sometimes they say to you before you begin that you should on no account speak for less than 2 hours. If you speak for less than 2 hours, they're a bit disappointed. In England, it's very different. They ask not to exceed. Well, I'm afraid this morning is, I won't say a miserable hour and a quarter, because an hour and a quarter is really quite a lot of time. But this morning, at least for me here, it's
an hour and a quarter.
So conditions there, circumstances are very different. And of course, my audiences were made up not of English people, not of comparatively well-to-do people, not of highly educated people, not of people who'd been to university, but of these ex-untouchable Buddhists, most of whom are very, very poor, and you occupy the very bottom of the social ladder in India. And it's about them that I want to say something this morning.